downloading a wallet, using a seed phrase, buying crypto, moving it to a wallet. These are a lot of steps for the average user who's used to pushing a button on PayPal. And until we are as easy to use and as fast or as cheap as traditional applications, we're not going to win, right? We're not going to supplant incumbents if we're not faster, cheaper, and easier to use.
In today's episode, I will be joined by John Naas, Vice President of Business Development at Avalabs, that is building Avalanche, one of the fastest smart contract platforms in the blockchain industry, building the Internet of Finance. So that's a lot. But if you are in the crypto space, you have definitely heard about Avalanche, and that's what we are talking about today. If you are new to the crypto space, then you have heard of Ethereum, Bitcoin, Cardano, Solana. They are all different chains. And Avalanche is another one that is considered one of the preferred destination for decentralized finance of DeFi. They have some interesting development on the go. Hi, John. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Okay, fantastic. So let's, we are going to be focusing on Avalanche, but before, I just want you to make a clarification between Avalanche and Avalabs, because I think it's an important thing to clarify.
Of course. So thank you for having me. First and foremost, John Naas, Vice President of Business Development for Avalabs. So Avalabs is the firm that created the Avalanche blockchain. Avalanche now is a public utility, layer one blockchain, that is run by the foundation. The Avalanche Foundation oversees the growth of Avalanche. Avalabs, where I am employed, as well as a lot of those within the ecosystem that support Avalanche, work at Avalabs, which is a licensed service provider to the Avalanche Foundation with the mandate of growing the Avalanche ecosystem.
Does this tied up with the launch of the Avalanche Multiverse? Because for what I understood, it's an incentive program that will speed up the adoption of the subnet.
Most recently, we announced the launch of our Multiverse campaign, or Avalanche Foundation launched the Multiverse program. So Multiverse is an incentive program to support builders who want to deploy their own chains. So what we've seen traditionally is that a lot of chains that exist are monolithic. They're single chains, they do a lot. But what we're starting to see, and where I think Web3 needs to go to gain mass adoption, retail adoption, is the emergence of app-specific chains, right? So if you are a play-to-earn game or a GameFi application, you need your own chain to handle lower fees, to handle higher transactions, to not be living alongside NFT projects and DeFi projects and enterprise projects all living on the main chain. Deploying your own chain, whether permissioned or permissionless, allows you to really set the parameters that fit for the application that you are building, that you are deploying. The purpose of subnets is to be app-specific chains. It's not for us to say, here's our chain, now do it, you know, change your application to fit the parameters that exist. It's more us giving the developer community and the community that's building, whether DeFi or games or whatever it may be, kind of a sandbox to say, build the chain that best fits the product that you're creating. And we will support you with incentives, either so that when users come, there's boosted yields or incentives, or we will support you in bootstrapping and setting up nodes for you with Avox in order to launch your own subnet.
So, yeah. So John, if I just interrupt you, would that work as like a layer two? I mean, I guess that all these projects, they will be, even they are building their own chain, they will kind of be still deployed on the Avalanche main chain. Sure. And then there will be like a customized ecosystem. That kind of makes sense what I'm saying, or is...
Yeah, exactly. So you can think of Avalanche, of course, as a layer one, but you can also think of it kind of as a layer zero, which allows for all these other chains to come in and have interoperability. So Avalanche itself, the primary network, is composed of three chains. You have the X chain, which is where the Avox token lies. That's a UTXO-based model where you can create, mint, burn, and transfer assets, limited business logic. You have the C chain, where a majority of the transactions occur. That's our smart contracts chain, of course, built with Solidity, where you can deploy any smart contract. And any token on there is an ERC-20. Every NFT is an ERC-721. Finally, we have the P chain. That's our platform chain. That's what handles delegation and validation of the main network. But if you are a node or a validator on the network, you can deploy a subnet underneath. Underneath in terms of visualization, but ultimately all these chains have a connection and interoperability layer, whether through bridges or whatever else it may be, so that if you develop a subnet, but you want to, let's say, use USDC as your native stablecoin, you can bridge to the C chain and pull USDC native on Avalanche onto your subnet.
I think is a very interesting concept, and I'm glad that you brought up layer zero, because not many people actually understand the difference between a layer. Everybody's talking about layer one and layer two, but not many are talking about the layer zero. And I was quite interesting to maybe to dive a little bit more into that. Just give me some example. Just break it through a little bit more, so then we can explain it a bit better.
So in essence, what the Avalanche consensus allows you to do is deploy a vast network that scales, right? And that has interoperability. So whether it's X, the P, or the C chain, you can think of each one of those as their own independent layer one. If you want to deploy a subnet, right, it could be its own layer one, or it could be a layer two. It depends on kind of the use case, right? So ultimately, we're giving builders and developers the tools that they need to build the best way forward. So if you are DeFi Kingdoms, which recently launched and is doing about 250,000 transactions a day, users can just log into DeFi Kingdoms. They don't connect the MetaMask to the P chain and then this and that. They can go directly to the app and transact directly with the app layer on that subnet. And that's allowed, you know, by the architecture of the network, which allows it to really build the way you want. So if it's GameFi, if it's institutions, right? When we talk to financial institutions, they don't want to deploy their ledgers or their private and proprietary information on a public chain where the only difference is that a person's name is abstracted to a wallet address. They don't want to see all that publicly, right? So they might deploy their own financial institution chain as a subnet, you know, running within its own walled garden, but that has functionality and that could pull assets off the C chain, that can have smart contract functionality there, that could pull a Vox from the X chain and have that kind of freedom, whether to use a Vox as its native gas token, to create their own native gas token for their subnet. The flexibility is really there for the builder to really create what their product really is intended to do without any real restrictions or mandates on how to do it.
That's very interesting. And I guess you are also seeing some demand from NFT project, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah. How big is the NFT market within Avalanche, the Avalanche ecosystem?
So it's growing. It's organically been growing over the course of the past year. I think we have some fantastic projects that have launched on us, whether it's Particle that bought a physical Banksy and broke it into 10,000 pieces and sold it off as NFTs. You know, Tops, the traditional collectibles company, has used us and is building on us. So they do MLB, Bundesliga, and a lot of their IP. And then the community has really risen to create some really cool NFT projects, such as Avox Apes, Avox Party Animals, Chicken, and Chicken has Farm and now Rooster, and they've gamified these NFTs. And we have some native marketplaces that are growing, and we have many marketplaces from other chains also coming on board, and we're seeing a real big growth. You know, we talked about Multiverse. We've also embarked on a new project as well called the Culture Catalyst. So that's in partnership with Open, that's OP3N, which is, it's a mobile app. So if you were to think about the way most people interact with digital assets nowadays, it's mostly mobile. And the way Spotify brought music to people, Open really is creating a community-centered focus around NFTs, so that the NFTs that you earn, whether it's from a celebrity or a musician or a film, grants you access to a larger community around that. So NFTs are, one, a collectible, but two, kind of a ticket into a new community, right? And what Open is really doing, and the first project that we announced is a Metaverse children's book with Grimes that she's going to be doing. So you can start to think how musicians and artists deploy new NFTs, and then those NFTs allow the holders to have early access to an album or a single or an AMA with the artists, all powered by the Open app. So that's another initiative that we're really pushing for that's really going to grow the ecosystem in terms of art and collectibles. And we have a fantastic community that continuously innovates with some really cool NFT projects. We have a lot more coming, so looking forward to that.
Do you see this big challenge that Ethereum has to migrate to proof of stake an opportunity for Avalanche, perhaps?
I think so, but I think what they're doing is fantastic, and we congratulate them on the anticipated merge and the move, and to make Ethereum faster and more scalable, and of course more sustainable by moving to proof of work. A lot of our inspiration comes from Ethereum, and at the end of the day, we see ourselves as complementary and supportive of Ethereum, and I think back to my initial point, I think this isn't a zero sum game. Right, for Avalanche to win, that doesn't mean that Ethereum has to lose, or that Solana has to lose, or that Algorand has to lose. I think if any of us are able to achieve, all of us are able to achieve what we hope, there's no one single chain that'll ever be able to handle all the load. There are even all the current chains that exist, I don't think can continue at the pace of innovation and growth to take on all that we anticipate and hope to achieve. So I think there's going to be, it is a multi-chain world. It will continue to be a multi-chain world. I think specific chains will have their benefits and niches. But at the end of the day, there's going to be interoperability and bridges and ways for us to work together. If I had to make an anecdote, like Verizon and T-Mobile and AT&T and all these other base layer infrastructure technologies at some way work together, right? So we're all in this together at the end of the day.
Exactly. I think the element of interoperability is definitely very important. And talking about bridges, what do you see being the challenges for Avalanche? I mean, already being an EVM compatible chain, it gives you a plus, for instance, to Solana or to Cardano. They are just, it's just a little bit harder to kind of plug in with other network, even though it's possible. Do you see any kind of challenges for the space in terms of bridging infrastructure?
I mean, I think we've shown how bridges can be fast and cheap and effective with the Avalanche bridge from Ethereum. And most recently, we announced that we're expanding that bridge to include Bitcoin. So for everyone holding Bitcoin, they'll be able to bring it onto the Avalanche ecosystem, earn yield, and use it as collateral. We've seen real great innovation, right, across the bridge space, whether it's Wormhole or Layer Zero or Router or Connext. I mean, there's a lot of innovation happening there. And I think it's a space that's growing, a space that's going to be very competitive. Of course, as with everything, knock on wood, the only things we have to be concerned about are potential hacks or exploits that can affect everybody and shake confidence. But I think when that's happened, you've seen teams rise to the occasion, do what's right by their community and by those that use the bridges and make up for it. But it's a learning curve, and we're all kind of part of this new cutting edge technology that's going to grow. I think another challenge that's being worked on currently and solved for is fragmentation. When you bring liquidity from Ethereum onto Avalanche or another chain on, you're going to have multiple flavors of the same asset. So how do you consolidate that liquidity? How do you not fragment it? How do you allow for ease of use, right? There might be interoperability, but at the end of the day, there needs to be a focus as well on user experience and the user interface and how easy it is for the user to use these products without being confused or difficult. I often say that, for as much as Web3 and crypto native people like to talk about inclusion and bringing people into a new digital economy, we do have a little bit of an elitist attitude in the sense of there's a learning curve and an educational aspect that we need to do better on. Because downloading a wallet, using a seed phrase, buying crypto, moving it to a wallet, these are a lot of steps for the average user who's used to pushing a button on PayPal or pushing a button on Zelle or on Venmo. And until we are as easy to use and as fast or as cheap as traditional applications, we're not going to win, right? We're not going to supplant incumbents if we're not faster, cheaper, and easier to use. So I think we have a challenge, whether it's with bridges or if anything in general, of first and foremost education. And second, abstracting away the complexities and the technology so that it's easier for people to use it and to interact with the technology.
Yeah, I think you raised some really important points here because, we are an elite, the people that understand and they are able actually to make transaction on Uniswap. But if you talk, to your friend that doesn't know anything about crypto, only heard about Bitcoin, for them it's all like a cryptic word. And sometimes, I've got friends, they watch my channel and they say, Steph, the content is too difficult for us. We don't understand it. It's too technical, where sometimes I think it's not enough technical. But that's a kind of the challenge.
We do live in a bubble, right? So like we work in this industry, we talk about these things all day, every day with other people in the industry who understand it. And then it's not until you're at a family dinner or out with friends and you start talking about what you do and everyone just their eyes glaze over and they look confused and lost. But to that point, I think that's where I think I'm really bullish because I think GameFi is going to change that. Because I think with gaming, you used to have pay to play, you have to buy a game. And then you had free to play, where you would play games for free, but you have pop-ups and all these things. And now you have play to earn, where people play a game and earn for it. I think we're moving towards a free to play to earn, where you can play a game for free and you can earn. And that excites people and it gives them enough of an incentive to try the new technology and to learn. And I think Avalanche is helpful here with subnets because instead of someone having to go to an exchange, buy a crypto, send it to a wallet, change the network of that wallet to XYZ, and then try and figure it out, you will start to have, I think, access straight into games from wallets, right? Where your wallet's just connected to a game and your wallet or your phone becomes kind of the joystick or the keypad in which you play a game. The fact that it's on a blockchain is secondary. The fact that you're earning is secondary to the fact that you're actually using this product and this technology, right? Move it away. People often ask me, like when I talk on things like this, like, oh, when do you know that blockchain or crypto has arrived, right? Or has gone mainstream? And my typical answer is always the same thing. It's when you don't know it's being used, right? Like when people ask you, how do you explain crypto to your grandma? I don't try to, it's impossible and it's futile. What I do ask my grandma or anybody is, do you know how Zelle works? Do you know how PayPal works? Do you know that it runs on ACH or Fedwire or SEPA or any other payment rail? No. Do you care? No. You just know that it works. You know that the user experience is there. It's easy. You know that you push a button, the money you send arrives somewhere else. And you don't have to go through all these steps to do it. I think that's when we arrive. And I think that's when we have an opportunity to gain mass market appeal is when blockchains are in the background, powering all these new innovative things that are being built currently and that will be built in the future.
And John, when you talk about the subnet, so just to understand, the user will be going straight to the subnet. How? So if they are not using MetaMask?
Well, they would connect their MetaMask or any other wallet to that chain directly, to that subnet chain directly.
Okay, which they will prepare within the MetaMask wallet. But once they have done that, they can like when you are setting up your Matic network. First of all, you need to set it up, and then
when you add Matic, when you add Avalanche, when you add any EVM chain to MetaMask, you would do the same. You would do the same with a subnet. Now, I believe the goal being that in the future, to make it easy for everybody, and this is something we're working on with the release of Core, which is something that Ava Labs is doing. That's a wallet for use with Avalanche and with subnets, but also any wallet, whether it be MetaMask or Coinbase wallet, right? Ultimately, you shouldn't have to toggle and put in things. There should be functionality where it just says choose your network, right? You just click a button and it automatically does it. Or choose your... So think of it this way. Think of it as the network is iOS. And instead, you're just picking your app, right? Like you're opening an app, you're opening a game, you're opening a subnet. That's ultimately where I think we get to and we should be going to.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It's very interesting what kind of solution you are working on. And I see a big value also for enterprises, for companies, and to create their own ecosystem. Because what I see as a big challenge is that we are coming from a centralized world where everybody wants to own and control what they create, right? That's why you see Apple, you have got Facebook, you have got Twitter, and everybody wants to be in control of the profit and that I think is kind of like a big challenge when you are looking at the Web3, where everything is decentralized, and the model to do business in Web3 is not the model that we are using Web2. So that's why sometimes I'm thinking how companies can be successful in Web3 that might not be they have to collect the revenue, might be they are the investor or the stakeholders in a project, and what they invested on, it will increase in value. So it's kind of interesting, like this shift in perspective.
I mean, I think you're going to see that, right? So you'll see the companies, and we're seeing it today, that there's, I think, three kinds of companies. There's the ones that say, this is the future. How do we start to shift our business model or the way we interact with our customers or our users or our fans to adapt with this technology and go along with them? Those guys, I think, succeed. I think the middle ground is the people who say, ooh, this is exciting. How do we make money off of it? Those guys come across, I think, as disingenuous and are not going to make it. And then there's the ones that just say this is a fad and that's going to pass. And those are like your Kodaks, right? They're never going to, they don't see a train coming at them and get out of the way. And they don't adapt. So you have those that don't adapt, those that adapt opportunistically, and that doesn't work. But you're seeing a lot of companies take this seriously now. You're seeing companies that say, we want a presence, we want a Web3 presence, we want to start to shift our model or the way we interact with our customers, right, to a Web3 world. We want to start giving NFTs to our customers. You buy a car, you get an NFT with it. You buy a pair of shoes, you get an NFT with it. Create that, and that NFT grants you access to other things, or maybe they launch tokens and rewards. And there's a lot happening. And I think a lot of things are going to be launched that don't work, which is fine. But then, you know, that's what the market is for, right? We might think that there's some killer apps and killer innovations that don't work, and then some things might stick. At the end of the day, the market decides what it wants, what's exciting to it. And there's a lot of amazing companies out there that are really embracing the technology, the innovation, and the opportunity to connect with their users and really start to shift towards a decentralized world.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. John, it was great to have you on the show. Listen, anybody that has got a project that wants to join Avalanche and create their own subnet, how they can get in touch with you or put an application?
Absolutely. So I know I talked about the Culture Catalyst. We talked about Multiverse for Subnets. Also, something last August that we announced was the Rush program. So that's incentives specifically for DeFi, which is still ongoing as well. And something that we do at Avalanche that we're really excited about is that we incentivize the users, right? So we don't really go out there and say, build on us. We say, build on us. And if you do build on us, we will help you bring users to try this and then see for themselves the benefit. You can find me on Twitter. If you can post my handle at @sjohn_nahas, feel free to send me a DM. You can find me on LinkedIn, send me a DM. Also on the Ava Labs website and the Avalanche websites, we have links to the ecosystem pages that have applications both for Rush and for Multiverse. But feel free to reach out to me or anyone on the business development team. We're more than happy to talk to anyone interested to build on us, and we're keen to be supportive partners along the way.
Thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you for having me.